You know, 'tis the season to celebrate Advent and Christmas. The shopping's begun, which most of us have already seen and participated, and we hopefully will greet people with tidings of good cheer. But is it really Advent and Christmas? It seemed like I just changed my calendar yesterday, and we're looking at the last month of the year. Think about that. It has really flown. But you know, this scripture passage here is interesting because Christ was preparing his disciples about approaching storm clouds and what to expect. But he told them not to despair and likewise for us not to worry as well. Well, now it's easier said than done, isn't it, than not to worry. Because everything, it seems like, have you ever had those weeks where, I've had one last week where I was thinking bills were due, I was thinking everything's just jamming in together, and I realized I still got a little time, so I was sweating for nothing. We all go through those phases in life, because we do get a little bit, sometimes our timing off and everything, but according to the Lord here, this scripture reading I had just read, we're always supposed to be alert. And you know the Boy Scout motto is to be prepared. And that is the secret to the Christian life. We are to be prepared. And it is because of the sincere, heartfelt hope of Christ who was born in a manger, and he is present with us during our daily struggles. No matter how dismal it gets, there is rejuvenated and revitalized hope through the presence of Jesus Christ. God, believe it or not, thought of us long before we were even born. A question, how much does the light of Christ shine in our world with all the bad news circulating? Do we hide or shirk our responsibilities as people of faith because we don't feel spiritually strong enough to banish those ill tidings? I had an email from a friend of mine in the Ukraine, and he said every night he and his family go down to the basement because there's 70, 80 Russian drone bombs fly over their house every night. Now, can you imagine that? Sitting in your living room one moment and in the basement cowering down because you don't know if one of them's going to hit your home or not. That would be frightening to be in. And the thing is, when our fears and the chaotic plays that take place and all that, we think, has God abandoned us or left us? Well, no, God has not done that. But circumstances sometimes put us in harm's way, and we should have our faith should be strong enough, it should be solid enough to be able to withstand those things, onslaughts. We may not have drone missiles, but you know what? You worry about your family, don't you? You worry about maybe perhaps a bill that needs to be paid, but you're not for sure if it's going to be paid on time. There's so many things out there that can really erode a lot of the foundation of our faith that we have to protect it. It has to be protected because if not, we need to get swept away in the tidal wave of despair. And so Christ's message of hope did not stop with the early apostles, but it continues today. There is hope in the past, present, and future. Whether it is a financial crisis, sickness, divorce, death, or whatever, it is hope which brings peace and calmness to life situations. Amid chaos, Christ will always instill hope, even while we are in the septic tank spiritually. The presence of Christ is not a wishy-washy mirage, but an ever-present hope. Faith, Christ said, can move mountains, but to undergird faith is to trust God who brings strength to our hope. You know, as I read in the 46th Psalm, and part of it says, God is our strength. God never fails us. Christ insisted we are to be watchful and vigilant. If a military sentry is found sleeping on duty, guess what? They could be court-martialed. Our faith, likewise, must always be in a state of fine-tuning and guarded with care. Faith is an easy thing to take for granted. Assumptions are made that the Christian life is problem-free and everyone may lead a charmed existence without any bumps or bruises. Well, you know, that is the dominant sentiment among a lot of religious charlatans today, of whom our faith system is degraded down to Dollar Tree religion. I threw that in for Robin because she likes Dollar Tree, by the way. And you know, it's true. Our religion can become cheap. It can become discounted. Think about that. Plenty of it around, but with little substance at bargain basement prices. Let us recall the noble people of faith, and in them are found challenges, but also inspiration as well. You've heard me speak of Mother Teresa. We've all heard of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She was accused by some people of being a publicity seeker and phony at the expense of the dying in India. Now, how many of us would wade through raw sewage like she did to help a leper? I don't think there'd be a lot of volunteers. I might be surprised, but I mean, that takes a lot of courage and nerve and gumption to do something like that. John Wesley of England continually was ridiculed by the so-called dignified church establishment as being a fanatic and a preacher who conjured up hyper-emotionalism among the lower elements of society. However, and yet, England was spared the horror and the turmoil of the French Revolution due to God's use of Wesley. He rode thousands of miles on horseback in England, not just preaching, but handing gospel tracts out and talking to people about God's love for them. We don't know how John Wesley did it, but he certainly did it, and he believed that God was leading him to do it. Corrie ten Boom, I mentioned her from the pulpit numerous times, of Holland, was told after World War II that she could have avoided imprisonment in concentration camps, which resulted in the death of several of her family members, had she not volunteered to rescue what the Nazis called those nasty Jews. Corrie ten Boom's post-war travels, listen to this, brought thousands into the kingdom of heaven due to the witness and testimony of her faith. If Mother Teresa, John Wesley, or Corrie ten Boom had not been hopeful and diligent in their faith, we would have never heard of them. You know, Billy Graham was at a school and he was leaving it to go to Wheaton College, and the president of the university told him he would never amount to a hill of beans if he left his school. It's a good thing he left it, isn't it? A lot of us get told things that are negative, and we realize later on that they never came true. That's where we have to focus our faith on God and not on some human being. Now, I'm not saying to not listen to somebody. God can send many people into our lives, but sometimes those negative naysayers can almost really cause us to throw up our arms and get frustrated and say, I give up. That's not to be done. So if you are ever around somebody who tells you you're not doing it their way, then you don't listen to them. Follow God's leadership and guidance. Mother Teresa did. John Wesley did. Corrie ten Boom and Billy Graham did. So we could be in the same boat with them. So don't forget that. When lowering the guard, that is when our faith can fragment. It is difficult not to let disillusionment seep through and create pessimism. Our seemingly perfect world of the church and the Christian may come tumbling down around us when they're only focused on human weaknesses and not the strength of
God in whom our trust should be. Who's at fault? Well, none other than our own selves. Watch and awareness are the key words for everyone. Don't underestimate it. Remember, God is never constrained or restricted, but the call to us is persevere, and it does require a concerted effort to keep that commitment level to God afresh and anew. Advent and Christmas will renew the hope of life present and eternal. During the darkness of night in Bethlehem long ago, the angels declared peace, grace, and good news of salvation, not just to the shepherds in the fields, but to our world as well. That's Christmas in a nutshell. When the candles of Advent are lit, let us take seriously this message of Mark 13 with anticipation, watchfulness, and alertness through the eyes of hope. This is the message of good news to dispel the despair of our world. Why not apply the golden rule? Emblaze it over your heart, or carve it in your heart. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, as Christ encouraged. The golden rule eliminates all the negativity that is encountered or witnessed throughout our world. All this unsavory racial tension, violence, economic and social inequality, war, political corruption, jealousy, greed, and rivalry would be less divisive if the golden rule were implemented by each of us. I was just thinking, have you ever heard a politician use the golden rule as their campaign slogan? I don't recall that, do you? How could the world could be changed so much for the better? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that would make, it would revolutionize our world. You know, the communists or the Bolsheviks always said we were going to start a revolution. They did, unfortunately. But the thing is, we could have a revolution ourselves by adapting the golden rule to every remaining hour, minute, and second of our lives. Think about that, how it could do. It may be rough going at first, but the golden rule can be implemented. It would displease God to find ourselves in the dark, creepy shadows and lose all hope. Be careful and watch. Remember, the kingdom of God is within you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do sometimes get down in the dumps, and a lot of it's brought on by our own doing. Sometimes we see things around us that we don't like. Sometimes events happen in our lives that causes us to lose inspiration. Help us, O God, to always remember the golden rule. Let us also remember that you are still in control of all things and your Son is on the throne. Help us and guide and lead each of us, O Lord. When we hit a bumpy road, let us remember that that's not the end, that you are the one that can provide hope for all of us. Help us out, O God, through all times, in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.